This is the Voices in Japan podcast with Ben and Burke. On this episode, we talk about seven Japanese words and concepts that anyone can relate to based on an article that was put out by Time Out Tokyo. Some of these words like shoganai and otsukare you hear pretty often or almost daily in Japan. Other words like bimyo and mendokusai and mottainai are words that you probably won't hear every day in Japan, but you will still hear them quite often, and they are definitely concepts that anyone can relate to. We also add in some of our own words that weren't on this list. So what do all these words and concepts mean? Listen now to find out. And if you have a little extra time and you haven't done so yet, please support the podcast by giving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. All right, on to the show.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I was going
to see how we go.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I was walking around downtown Sapporo. I mean, you've been kind of going around to Sapporo, I guess, in town regularly sometimes for work or whatever. But I haven't been down there in like, I don't know, man, a few weeks. But I was down there yesterday and I was just kind of walking around. I had to go buy something at Don Quixote.
And, Odori?
Yeah, in the Odori area. And I was like, man, like, it feels like so good to be downtown and kind of walking around and stuff and seeing like stores. It was like it actually had like a little bit of like being in Japan for the first time again type of feeling to it. So it's almost like, and then I was kind of thinking, man, this is like kind of going to be one of the, I don't know, I don't want to say good things about Corona, but like when everything maybe does eventually return to some sort of state of normalcy or however it was before all this got started. It's kind of going to be like re-experiencing Japan all over again and stuff, you know?
It feels like you've just been away from the country for, I don't know, locking yourself inside for forever. How long? How long have you kind of been locking yourself down? Like not going into town and not going out? You've been going like, you know, out to places, right, with your family, just not
downtown.
Leading a regular life, yeah, not socializing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I guess it's, I mean, I haven't been out for like a drink at a bar or restaurant, and I don't know, man, maybe like over half a year or something, except for the occasional time to go to Barefoot or something, but that, even then has been quite a while. I mean, I haven't been out like to a restaurant with friends, and I don't remember how. I mean, my family and I, we've been to like some of the restaurants around Sapporo Station, around our apartment and stuff, but yeah, I haven't been out downtown to like see things or see people in such a long time. Like you said, on the weekends we've kind of been going out of town and vacationing around Hokkaido a little bit and stuff, but I mean, it's kind of surprising too how much downtown has changed. Like that new apartment complex structure is already going up where
What's
Don
that?
Quixote used to be.
Oh, they're building an apartment there.
Yeah, I think they're building, like,
wow.
It's going to be a bit huge, I mean, I don't know how big, but it's going to be a higher rise. I think the bottom floors are going to be restaurants and shops, and I think there's going to be apartments above that, if
wow.
I remember correctly, yeah.
For the rich and famous, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, have you guys been going out quite a bit, or not really?
Yeah, we actually went out last night. Yeah.
In Suskino, or?
Yeah, went into Suskino. Me and the missus went out. We had a motsunabe. Do you like motsunabe? Do you like motsu, Burke?
Yeah, we've talked about this too much. It's not my favorite, but
yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, we had some of that, and we also had some raw chicken, which is another food that you kind of like, right?
Was that also because you wanted to, or is it just like the novelty about it?
The wife wanted it. She likes it, and it was good. It was like we had thigh, raw thigh, and raw breast.
Man.
But it was like diced up, kind of like a mince style, and then you wrap it up in some nori, put some wasabi in it, and it's really good. And the thing is, there's so many spices in the chicken that it didn't really taste like chicken.
Hmm.
And when you look at it, it doesn't look like chicken either, because it's all minced up.
Did it, because from what I remember from eating the raw chicken, it was like kind of like you would imagine it to be, not too easy to bite into, kind of gave some resistance? Did it have that feel to it, or was it?
It didn't. It was, I don't know how they prepared it, but it didn't have that toughness that I've had before when I had raw chicken. They did it in, the first time I had it, they kind of had slices of it, and it looked like, you know, raw chicken. Whereas the stuff that we had last night, if my wife didn't say this is raw chicken, I wouldn't have thought that was it.
Hmm. Where was the place at? Where was the restaurant?
It was in Saskino, man. I can't remember the name, but it's pretty popular. My wife was saying a lot of women in there. So when we walked in, it was quite early. We went about 6 o'clock because now like all the restaurants and bars in Sapporo, or is it in Japan, like have to close at 10?
I think it's, I think it's decided actually by, actually, I don't know. I think it's decided by prefecture, but I think everyone's pretty much going with 10 o'clock or something.
Yeah. So all of Sapporo now is doing 10 o'clock. So basically everyone's going out really early. So 6 o'clock, we went to the restaurant. We don't normally go out for dinner at that time. We usually go around 7:30, but at 6 o'clock it was like packed, but it was only like girls for like the longest time. And I felt a little bit uncomfortable because I was like the only dude in the whole place. And then, but later on, maybe about an hour later on, another guy walked in. So there was like, two of us and surrounded by some young women, which is quite nice, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. Did they have like any special measures for coronavirus?
Not really. Like the tables weren't separated by any kind of, you know, plastic partitions or screens that I would have expected to see. It just felt like a normal evening on a Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I'm sure probably a lot of businesses are just trying to get in some money-making opportunity whenever they can, business hours that they have to do it. But yeah, I mean, so it was weird when I was walking around because I was like, it almost felt a little bit natsukashi, to bring up a Japanese word. It was like, I kind of felt like, wow, man, I remember what this used to be like.
I remember what it was like going out to dinner.
Yeah.
I remember seeing people.
I used to live in Sapporo and could actually enjoy the city. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say one way or another what's good or bad about not being able to go out or needing to stay home and stuff. But anyways, yeah, it was a little natsukashi. And that kind of relates a little bit to our topic for today. Time Out Tokyo, good website that supported the podcast before by helping mention it. I mean, we didn't have anything to do with it, but they kind of mentioned us as one of the top podcasts in Japan. And this article said 7 Japanese words and concepts that anyone can relate to. So this word, natsukashi, was not one of the words that was on this list, but it is kind of one of my words because it's used fairly often, it seems like, in Japan. I mean, natsukashi basically means like something is, what would you say?
Nostalgic.
Yeah. Mm. But like, for some reason, I don't really feel like when I was living overseas, people are always like, oh, this is so nostalgic. But for some reason, I feel like you hear the word natsukashi quite often in Japan.
Yeah. I think when, TV programs, because they show a lot of old dramas or animations, they always show like, you know, the classic Ghibli movies on national holidays or something, and a lot of people or grown-ups that watch that, they'll say, yeah, natsukashi. Like, I think, you know, what's the one that won the Oscar, Spirited Away?
Yeah,
they have that one on TV like all the time. And Totoro as well, of course, one of the most popular Ghibli movies, that one's on TV a lot. And yeah, and every time that comes on, everyone's, oh, natsukashi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even like at work, when like an old picture comes up or an old file or something, people are like, oh, natsukashi. Yeah. You know, I don't think,
oh,
like,
there's the spreadsheet from 2010, natsukashi.
Yeah, but I, like, you know, doing work or being a worker at the office overseas, like when old documents come up, people aren't like, oh, that's so nostalgic. Reminds me of the good old days and stuff. I mean, I guess sometimes they do. But
they're probably more like, fuck, I should have followed that 10 years ago.
Exactly, yeah.
That's where it went.
Yeah, put away that bad memory and stuff. But so it's a list of different words that says that people can relate to. And I'll admit, I think a lot of these are good words that a lot of people can relate to, whether you're in Japan or Japanese or not Japanese or not in Japan.
There's
definitely a lot of, well, probably of the seven, I would say 50 to 70% I kind of use and hear every day. But there's actually a couple that I've never heard of before. Mm. And the first one, which is actually, it has the kind of definition right on the front page of the Time Out article. And it's kuchisabishi. Kuchisabishi. And the definition is loneliness of the mouth. So it means you eat not because you're hungry, but because your mouth is lonely. So that's the definition they have on this article.
Yeah, and they were saying this is kind of like, you know, this is kind of appropriate for the times that are going on these days because it's also eating, you know, out of boredom or comfort eating. And they're saying that, like, you know, a lot of times during quarantine, while quarantining, quarantining? Is that a word?
Quarantining.
Quarantining?
No, I just made that up.
During quarantine, yeah, like people are, you know, snacking a lot or going, you know, need something to do, so they will go to eat. Yeah, longing to have, it literally means lonely mouth. Yeah. Kuchi, your kuchi is sabishi, your mouth is lonely.
Yeah.
Longing to have something in one's mouth. That's another description that was out there. Ben, do you often long to have something in your mouth? I don't know. Well, actually, it does say, like, smokers, right? Smokers that are trying to kick habits. So, you know, not just people, doesn't just relate to eating, but people who are trying to kick a habit sometimes.
I get it with snacks, I guess. I love eating crisps and potato chips. So even when I'm not hungry, I always kind of feel like I want to, put some crisps in my mouth. So, I guess I get it. Kuchisabishi for that situation.
I will say, I think this is a word that's kind of become more relevant because of the times, current times. But I will say, too, that I don't feel like I hear this too often on an everyday basis, like you were saying some of these other words in here. I don't know. Do you hear it come up at all?
Kuchisabishi? No, I don't think I've ever heard this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe it's a new word.
Yeah, I've heard it, especially, I guess, maybe girls at the office or something. I mean, I haven't heard it a lot, but just talking about snacking or something. They got a nice picture here of somebody chewing gum. So maybe sometimes when people are kuchisabishi, they might put a piece of gum in their mouth or something. But loneliness of the mouth, kuchisabishi.
How about yourself? Do you get kuchisabishi?
It just sounds like such a cute word.
You want to stick something in your mouth?
maybe
a sausage or something. I know you like hot dogs, being from America.
That's another thing. Speaking of hot dogs, why do they got to call them American dogs in Japan, right? Isn't that what they're usually referred to, like at convenience stores or something?
So that's a corn dog, right? That's what you would refer
to
an American dog.
Yeah, corn dog. Okay, so not hot dogs, but corn dogs. But why are corn dogs, they don't exist in like the UK and other places or something?
No, definitely not.
Ah, so that's why they call it
never saw one before I came to Japan, actually.
Oh, really? So you didn't even know they existed?
No, so I actually thought that, you know, when they were calling them American dogs, I just thought it was like a Japanese kind of joke. didn't realize it was an American food. Yeah. But then after living here for a while, I realized that they do that, you know, with like Aussie beef. And what else do they say? Like there's Aussie beef, American dog. Is there like British something?
I'm not sure. I can't think
probably
of anything.
Probably not, right?
Hmm.
French legs.
But anyways, yeah, so the American dog. But no, actually, I'm not actually a very big fan of hot dogs and American dogs, corn dogs. But like sometimes at work, I guess I do get a little kuchisabishi around 3 o'clock, as you guys would say in the UK, peckish.
What do you reach for?
Whatever I bought for snacks during lunchtime. So using some chocolates, some nice macadamia, chocolate covered macadamias, or some of those, what are they,
Pocky.
Pocahino. Well, the ones that I mentioned that in a recent episode for snacks, like the honey roasted, the cashews.
Yeah, nice.
Something like that. Yeah, that's usually my go-to kuchisabishi snack.
So the next one on this list is a very useful one, and probably everyone hears this very often, and it's very useful too, is a shogunai, or can't be helped, and very oftenly used for when, something can't be helped. I mean, in English, we don't really use that phrase that often, right? It's kind of used a lot as an excuse for when something doesn't go right, or even in work situations when someone can't do their work, for example, or they can't hand their homework in. Sometimes they'll use that excuse as it couldn't be helped, shogunai, and usually a lot of Japanese people kind of accept that too. And in my experience anyway, all right, nothing you can do about it, then let's move on, kind of thing. But if you did that kind of in England and you said, oh, that can't be helped, though, your boss wouldn't be very happy.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of say this is something they don't necessarily appreciate about Japanese society, is because it does have a little bit of a sense of defeatism to it, like saying a situation can't be helped. But like you said, I think it's really good in some work situations. Because personally, I don't like when people complain at work. I mean, I complain about work quite often, probably, but it's usually after work at home when I'm with my wife or something. But, when some people sit there during when a project is going on and they start and something changes, instead of like dwelling on why the change might make things difficult, they just say, shogunai, shikatagunai, and just ready to move on. And
let's get on with it.
Yeah, which is, that's a really good approach to have. But again, on the other side of that, some people say, just like you were saying, like in Western culture, I think a lot of people would say like, no, we shouldn't say that this can't be helped. We should, address this and work through it and stuff. And so sometimes it's a little bit of a concept that I think Westerners have trouble with. But interestingly enough, when I was kind of looking up some different things about shogunai, true or false, Ben, here's a true or false question for you.
50% chance. Good.
50%. Yeah. After the atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, did Emperor Showa, who was the emperor at the time, the grandfather of the current emperor, did he say, it is very regrettable that nuclear bombs were dropped and he feels sorry for citizens of Hiroshima, but it couldn't be helped because it happened during wartime?
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
So is that true that he said that?
Yeah.
I think it's true that he said that.
Well, according to our good friends over at Wikipedia, who are quoting a Time article, the emperor actually did say that it was shogunai to have shogunai. Bomb drop. But I will also say that I didn't have time to do deep research, but I haven't actually been able to find his quote in Japanese saying that it was shikatagunai or shogunai. There was something similar out there in Japanese in a speech that he was giving in Tokyo, but it didn't actually use the phrase shikatagunai or shogunai. It used the phrase yamunai, excuse me. So please verify whether it's true or false. Did the Emperor of Japan actually make such a dark statement about the bomb being dropped on Hiroshima or not? I mean, they say in some of these societal situations. Yeah, that's just kind of the Japanese attitude or approach to the situation, that it can't be helped, so there's no use in complaining, let's just move forward. Whereas in other cultures, no, it's definitely something that needs to be complained about, make a big, huge demonstration downtown and call to arms and stuff, so...
Yeah, I definitely think most of the times that Japanese people use it is in the positive way, as in like to show encouragement, to kind of, yeah, not dwell on things and just get on with the change. But yeah, shikata ga nai, is that a more polite way of saying it?
Well, that's arguable from what I understand too, which one is more popular. I think basically, you would not probably use shoganai in like a written text. You might use shikataganai, but I think, I hear them used pretty either interchangeably in conversation.
That's interesting, because I remember a long time ago when I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't know what shikataganai was. I'd only heard shoganai, and I was in the process of courting a young girl, and you know, she was like trying to organize, well, we were trying to organize meeting up, blah blah blah, and then I said, oh sorry, I can't, I'm not in town, I can't see you tonight. And then she texted back, so we, you know, this was all before all the, you know, before smartphones basically, so well before I had a smartphone, I was on a galake, and then she texted back shikata ga nai. And I didn't really understand what that meant. And then I looked it up, and yeah, and it came back as a shogunai. So I was just wondering, why did she use shikataganai and not shogunai? So I wonder if she was being more respectful or something because she was younger than me. I don't know.
Maybe I'm not, you know, a Japanese expert or anything, but she was probably trying to be a little bit more polite, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Again, I think some people just use them interchangeably. I mean, technically, I think there's kind of three. There's shoganai, shioganai, and shikataganai. They all...
There's shioganai, too.
Yeah, I mean...
No salt.
No salt. Exactly. There's no salt.
Dwell on it. There's no salt. Salt in the wound.
They're all, I mean, there's no way of doing just a direct translation, my understanding. So, but I think all of those are pretty interchangeable. I personally just use shogunai most often. Okay. Maybe at work, I think I use shikataganai sometimes, but yeah.
I guess you can't go wrong if you use shogunai.
Yeah. So she was probably just being polite.
Yeah.
Next on this list is one that is used way too often, in my opinion, but still a very good word, otsukare. This means, as it's described here, more than just a hello or a goodbye, Japanese people most commonly use otsukare when greeting one another, especially at work. Simultaneously acknowledges seeing someone for the first time that day while also acknowledging their efforts.
It's also used for saying hello and goodbye, which is... I don't use it for using hello. I only use it like at the end of the day kind of thing, like saying goodbye to people.
Yeah, well, I think like in a work situation when somebody shows up at the office, of course, if it's like the first time they're coming into the office, can be usually it's the ohayou gozaimasu, regardless of the time of the day from my experience. But otsukare is like also when somebody comes back from being out from the office, or like people travel in from, you know, another office and they show up at headquarters or something. Instead of saying like, I mean, you wouldn't say konnichiwa to like a coworker or something, you know. So you'd say, oh, it's kind of some of this. You know, it's kind of like acknowledging that they're in the middle of their work day and stuff. So I think in that sense, it can be used as a greeting.
Right. Kind of saying, and what's it saying, like good work or thanks for working hard. You must be tired, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the literal translation. But again, this is just like one of those fixed phrases. And, you know, it's to be honest, like fixed phrases are a bit of a custom that's a little bit difficult for me to get used to because, you know, it's not necessarily, well, I guess in some ways, kind of efficient communication. But like, especially in emails, you know, I've been having to write a lot of Japanese emails lately. And, you know, without fail, you have to start off the email and you have to finish the email with some fixed phrases.
Yeah.
In the beginning, usually, you know, address the person and then you say,
talk about the weather and stuff like that.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you have to literally start the email with otsukaresama desu if it's a coworker, someone from the same company, or osewa ninarimasu if it's a customer or client or something.
Right.
And then you have to close it also with fixed phrases as well. And yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, it's a little bit too much of that formality. I mean, I don't know, in business, American business emails, I guess, we definitely start off with a certain type of greeting and close with a certain type of greeting as well. But
I think especially with the first email, like in within the conversation, right? The first email is very kind of, yeah, this is the introduction kind of greeting. Then there's the main body and then like an ending. But once the replies come back and forth, then you kind of skip all the, you know, the greetings and endings.
In English, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but in Japanese, it's like, I mean, and so like, you know, even in the morning time, if I've already seen somebody in the morning and then I'm getting an email from them 5 minutes later, I still have to start the email with their, you know, their name and then otsukaresama desu, even though I like just saw them like 2 seconds ago or something, you know? Or all somebody right. calls on the telephone and, you know, they say who it is, and then you know that it's somebody from the company, and they say, oh, it's kind of some of this. And it's like, if you don't say that, the conversation kind of doesn't even get off really well. It kind of stumbles in the beginning and stuff. And so, I mean, it's just part of Japanese custom, but being a Westerner or a foreigner working in the country, it is something that takes a little bit of getting used to, I guess.
But yeah, especially when, you know, you're busy, you're in a hurry, you kind of just want to get to the point, right? And yeah, I understand that. But then, I mean, being foreign yourself, don't you ever pull out the gaijin card? Because I do all the time. Like when it comes to emails, I don't write any of that crap. I just go straight to it. I just do like a konnichiwa, ask the question, dozo yoroshiku onegaishimasu, and that's it. And I usually like 3 lines at least. Just want to get straight to the point. And but when they email me back, sometimes they kind of follow how I've written too, so they miss out the greeting as well. And I think because I'm foreign, they just allow that, you know, they don't frown about it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have had those moments too, and I think most people are forgiving about it. I think one of my companies, you know, my joshi or my superior kind of wanted me to be able to handle some of the communication with the Japanese clients and other people within the company. So he wanted to see that I could write the regular formal email, use polite Japanese and everything. So for that sense, I was definitely in that situation, was definitely making an effort to make it as proper as possible and stuff. But this other thing about otsukare, and I've talked about it before, is like very similar phrase, gokuro-sama deshita, gokuro-sama desu, you know, you're a struggling person, basically, is the translation. And I've heard, like, you know, I've mentioned it before, but like I used to work at a company where the chairman of the company never wanted to have anyone say to him otsukaresama desu, because he didn't want people telling him that he was tired or being overworked, you know. But then so he preferred to have gokuro-sama desu be used for him. But then it's like, I mean, that's even more rude, in my opinion, because it's like saying, like, you're a struggling person or something, you know? So,
Is that like a more humbler form or a more kind of respectful way of saying oskare-sama?
Well, again, I'm not a Japanese expert, so we probably need to ask somebody. But I've heard different things explained. I've been told, you know, for example, if you're at your office and, like, a delivery person comes with a package or something, you're not really supposed to say otsukaresama desu to that person. You're supposed to say gokuro-sama desu to that person if you say anything, you know. And so, again, I've had, and I've heard that, you're only supposed to use gokuro-sama desu if you're above somebody, which was another weird situation, saying it to the chairman of that company. Kind of like looking, it's more of a phrase down towards somebody. So,
right.
I don't know. Somebody, please verify that. We need to get a Japanese expert on us to give us the correct answer on that one.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the next one. This is a good one. Also very common and you hear on a regular basis is a bimyo, or what can loosely be translated to as a lukewarm, when something is lukewarm or you feel lukewarm about something, more like a meh. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Meh. Bimyo. So, exactly. that's a useful one. Yeah, especially, you know, if people ask you, your friends, say, what do you feel about what do you think of the latest movie or this this actress or actor? And if you're not really bothered about them or you don't have kind of strong feelings either way, you can just say, yeah, 微妙, done it.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the other examples that were out there kind of saying that something is very subtle or delicate or, yeah, just like you said, something was kind of meh. 今日見た映画は微妙だった. The movie I saw today was kind of mediocre. 微妙なプレゼントをもらって. I was pretty disappointed at the present because it was just so yeah, usually expressing kind of mild dissatisfaction, so maybe not the most polite word to use in certain situations, but yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time. This is one of those words that was made very, very popular by young people, I would say.
Have you felt bimyo about anything recently that you've come across?
Yeah, we had lunch at a place the other day, and yeah, if somebody asked me how was that meal, bimyo.
what was it? You gonna name the restaurant or just describe where it is and what you had? What was so bimyo about it?
I won't throw the restaurant under the bus or anything, but I mean, I ordered a side of some sushi, nigiri sushi, and I mean, it wasn't a sushi restaurant, it wasn't a sushi-san, so you can't really hold them too liable for what they serve. Mm. But yeah, it was, wasn't the best sushi, so I was a little disappointed in it. How about you? Anything that was bimyo?
No, not really. Like, usually when I go out to dinner with my wife, we usually, you know, find a nice restaurant. And most of the time, there's always kind of one or two dishes that are bimyo. Right, like a lot of the time, the food is good, but there'll be like one or two dishes that aren't so great. And the place we went to last night, which I mentioned earlier, where we had motsunabe, yeah, everything was really good. So we had like the raw chicken wrapped up in nori with some wasabi, so that was really good. They had a kind of potato wrapped. Long potato fried, so that was really good. Yeah, so nothing was bimyo, and I was quite surprised because usually there's some dishes that aren't so good as the rest of them.
So you were manzoku, dai manzoku.
Yes, very satisfied. Yeah. Apart from the drinks were a bit bimyo actually. Yeah. So they didn't have much of a selection. They had beer. But in terms of like cocktails and wine, like my wife's a wine drinker, and the only wine it had was sparkling, and usually that's, you know, a kind of cheap range. What's that popular brand of sparkling wine? Polestar. So that's, you know, the kind of standard house sparkling wine that a lot of restaurants serve. So that's kind of bimyo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she wasn't pleased about that.
Moving along, actually, this word was not on the list, but this is one of the words that I kind of came up with. It was an interesting Japanese word that not necessarily everybody can relate to, but I just heard it recently, and so I thought it was quite interesting. Well, I just used it recently, so I thought it was quite interesting, but bakashojiki. Do you know bakashojiki?
Bakashojiki.
No. Yeah, baka shoujiki. I mean, obviously, you know baka, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Shoujiki is honest. But baka shoujiki means like, I mean, usually hear it in business because it means like kind of being stupidly honest. So like in business situations. Yeah, in business situations, it kind of means like, you know, showing all your cards too early during, you know, some sort of negotiation or something.
That's a good one, baka shoujiki. Sometimes I can be a bit baka shoujiki, especially when it comes to negotiation. I'm not that good at haggling. I remember there was one time, this was like when I was quite young, like in my teenage years. So I think I've improved since then, but this was my first attempt at haggling, and it was in Hong Kong. I don't know if you've been to Hong Kong before, Burke, but
just vacation once. Yeah,
there's a really famous market area called Ladies Market in Hong Kong, and basically, you know, everyone goes there to haggle. It's like it's expected from everyone, and I was with my cousin, and my family and my sister, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna haggle, and I just wanted to buy some underwear. So I saw this, oh, three pairs of underwear for $100 Hong Kong dollars, which is like £10, so around $15 or something. So it's $100, and then and she goes, okay, how much are you gonna offer me? And I went, I'll give you 99. And then she just looked at me. I was like, okay. And then my cousin was like behind me, just like wet himself. I was like, you went for 99. So I saved $1.
Yeah, you got. So
we have two more on this list, which is two very common ones: mendoksai, and motainai. Motainai is wasteful, for something that's or wastefulness that you regret doing, regret throwing something away, if you do or if you have to. So I'm very wary of motainai. You know, I hate throwing stuff out, like clothes, unless they're completely ruined, unless there's like holes in them or anything. Yeah, I like to recycle, reuse, you know, pass on things. I really don't like throwing things away, especially like because there's so much trash around as well, you know. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of motainai.
Yeah,
things being wasteful.
That's definitely a good. Yeah, I've definitely gotten more that way as I've gotten older and stuff. Motainai can also be used for like missed opportunities. So not just necessarily talking about you know, objects and stuff, but like if you had an opportunity to do something but you didn't take it and then you regret it later, you could say it was motainai. Or if somebody's like kind of very good at something, like this Time Out article is kind of describing, if they've got talents that's being wasted or something, somebody may describe that as being motainai.
Right.
Mendoksai. Yeah. This is actually, I mean, you definitely hear a lot of people using mendoksai, kind of saying something is a nuisance, complaining about something. Interestingly enough, this is also another one that I hear at work a lot. And even though it is kind of saying complaining about something, you'll even hear like superiors at work calling a certain job mendoksai or a mendona shigoto or something. So yeah, I would say this is definitely one of the very commonly
used to mean like a pain in the ass, like this job is a pain in the ass kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, and you wouldn't think, I mean, the image maybe of, for most people about Japanese workers, or they're just like very accepting of whatever they're, you know, been given as an assignment. But yeah, like they'll talk about something that's going on with overseas business partners being mendoksai, or even a business partner in Japan is being mendoksai, or...
Yeah, or even like family and friends, if you're mixed up in some kind of drama that you don't really want to get involved in, you can say, oh, mendoksai, this is a pain in the ass to deal with. So I hear that a lot, you know, like especially women when they get into arguments about small things and they're just, oh, mendoksai. Yeah, so you hear that all the time.
Yeah,
my
sure.
Wife uses that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think there was one more word on this list that I didn't necessarily know of this word before I read this article, but definitely use it a lot, especially now, because in the world of modern world of deliveries, ordering online, shopping online, getting deliveries a lot, but the word irusu. And yeah, so this means like when you're at home, but you don't feel like answering the doorbell. So maybe a package is being delivered or somebody you know has come to the door and you don't necessarily want to see them. Maybe the NHK. It's funny you thought that on the same thing. Did you see there's some article? There's like a political party that's based on like not wanting to pay the NHK bills, but the head of that party was recently told that he had to pay his NHK bill or something.
No. So the political party is based on not paying your NHK bill. So they're aiming for people that are proponents of that task.
I think it's something like that. To be honest, I didn't even read the article because I didn't open it. I just read the title. But yeah, it was saying that. But yeah, so for people who don't know, NHK is the national broadcaster in Japan. Very important broadcaster, I would say. But of course, because it is a public broadcaster, it's paid by what is it like? Is it, I guess the fees are considered mandatory, right? In the NHK collection, people come around to your home.
Yeah, yeah.
And but yeah, it's you hear a lot of times about people not paying. I of course pay all the time.
I would say what would you say, like 50% maybe pay? Because I don't know many like of my Japanese friends that pay NHK. They always try to avoid the man when he answers, when he rings the doorbell. They irusu. I usually do the same. But most of the time, well, there's been a few times where he's kind of caught me going up the stairs, the NHK guy. And luckily, they don't speak English, so you can kind of get away with it if you just speak really fast. But they do still kind of try. They'll hand you like an English pamphlet or leaflet, so they have those. But most of the time, they can't speak English. So if there's a, if you get in a, when there's kind of a, you know, a short or stuck in an alleyway with an NHK guy, and you can't get away, just speak really fast English.
Yeah, I think that technique has been used quite often by foreigners in Japan with the NHK people. So yeah, yeah. Definitely some good advice there. Some of my honorable mentions on my, well, words that were not on this list, but I would say quite useful words that everyone can use or maybe relate to a little bit in Japan. I mentioned natsukashi at the beginning. Some of the other words, itadakimasu, gochisousama. I think those are incredibly useful words in Japan.
Gochisousama, yeah, gochisousama deshita. Yeah, I don't really use itadakimasu so much. That's like the beginning of a meal, but gochisousama deshita. Because itadakimasu, you're not really saying it to someone, right? You're almost like saying it to, I don't know, some higher spirit, like God or something. It's almost like praying for, thanking something, some spirit for the food that is on your table. Whereas gochisousama deshita is like thanking the person that prepared the food. Am I correct in that understanding?
Well, that's my similar understanding too, but I think itadakimasu is also kind of saying for the person who helped prepare it and stuff.
Okay. like if you're at McDonald's or something, say it to the people that flip your hamburgers. I don't say itadakimasu like in a restaurant, but I say gochisousama deshita to the cooks.
Well, you're not gonna flag down the waiter and say, hey, before you start itadakimasu. I'm using it quite often now, just kind of trying to help my daughters get in the habit of saying itadakimasu, because it is, I think, considered proper manners when you're at someone's house, obviously, to say itadakimasu before you start eating. Again, in Japan, a lot of people don't pray before they eat. I don't usually pray too often now before I eat either, but I grew up in kind of religious households, so that was very common, so it is kind of a good replacement for that to say itadakimasu and stuff. But
I think I need to use it more at home too, because my wife uses it all the time, and maybe I should feel a little bit bad about not saying it, because she's doing it, so maybe I should too.
Another word I was going to say, kind of bring up, was like ganbatte. I mean, this is like probably one of the most common used words in Japan everywhere. I mean, words of encouragement at sporting
try
events
best,
or anything.
Right?
Yeah.
Try your best. Go for it.
Yeah,
very useful one.
Yeah, so anyways, those were some of the other words on my list. And again, this great list that Time Out Tokyo had put together. Great website, a lot of good stuff that they articles that they put out to help everyone, let everyone know what's going on in Japan and stuff. So
yeah, and they gave us a really big compliment by giving us a good shout out as well, so yeah, we love Time Out
for sure.
Yeah,
all right, man.
Alrighty.
Yeah,
I think that's it for today. Thanks for joining, everyone. Hope you learn some new things, learn some new words and vocabulary that you can use in your daily lives in Japan. I think most of those you probably know already, but the ones you didn't, maybe you can try using them next time.
All right. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.
This episode of Voices in Japan is sponsored by Barefoot Bar in Sapporo. Barefoot Bar has craft beer and a tapas-style menu and also a burger menu, 12 different types of craft beer, both bottle and on tap, and also local Sapporo beer on tap. Should also mention that all those craft beers are local Japan-made craft beers. They also have free drink plans available, student discounts on Thursdays. They're open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. till late Monday to Friday, 12 p.m. till late Saturday and Sunday. And of course, they have whiskeys, basic cocktails, and spirits available. They're located on the 6th block of Tanukikoji, which is the covered arcade shopping center in downtown Sapporo. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you've probably heard Ben and I mention Barefoot Bar before because, simply, it's one of our favorite bars in Sapporo, and now we're very happy to have them as a sponsor of the podcast.